My siestas are getting shorter and shorter.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for episode 2 of The Backside of Water, a podcast that delves into the rich history, awesome stories, and fascinating details behind your favorite Disney attractions. I'm Alex Stewart.
And I'm Harrison Unby.
How you doing, Harry?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm stoked about our last episode.
Yeah, that really turned out good for us just banging around like that.
I agree. Do you want to give a recap for those who didn't get a chance to hear it?
Absolutely. Folks, if you missed our last episode, we covered Adventureland. We talked about Harper Goff and the history of Adventureland, the ambiance, and we also talked about the lost Tahitian Terrace. So go ahead and listen to that if you haven't. You'll love it, or you might hate it. Either way, listen to it. So,
are you in like an old factory right now?
My printer just started deciding to clean its rollers, so you're gonna just have to live with that.
It sounded like you were on a production line of some sort for a minute there.
Yeah, I have to go before the foreman beats me with his cane.
You've got your union tin. What else do you want?
You haven't produced enough salt for today.
Okay. So today's episode, sorry, to refocus here.
It's still going, I'm sorry. Let's just mute my mic. We're a professional crew here, folks.
Only the finest equipment, especially when it comes to the cleaners of printers. So today's episode is going to be focusing on the first attraction inside of Adventureland when you're entering into the area, Walt Disney's Enchanted Tiki Room. Yeah, it's definitely one of our favorite areas. I think that we love it because of the history, the trivia that comes behind this place. I mean, it's the invention of audio animatronics.
Invention, yeah, right there in the Tiki Room.
Yeah, and there's just a ton of sweet action going on there. Just a ton of sweet action.
Too much.
Well, because there's too much, we have a ton to cover, so why don't we stop our clucking and jump on in.
All right.
The story of Walt Disney's Enchanted Tiki Room begins with a family vacation. Yep, Walt and family were taking a break from the hustle and bustle of the busy studio by visiting the lively and historic city of New Orleans. One day, the family was strolling through the local shops when Walt discovered a tiny antique bird inside of a gilded cage. The bird moved in a delightfully lifelike way that caught his eye and sent his imagination soaring. Walt had an epiphany. For decades, Walt Disney Studios had been creating animated shorts and films, but they had never gone into the world of 3D animation. Now, this isn't what we know today as 3D animation, or as some label it, digital animation. No, Walt was dreaming of animating in the real world, and he knew this little mechanical bird held the key to an amazing new world of opportunity. He purchased two of the mechanical birds, one for him to keep and one to give to his engineering team, the team that would later be known as Imagineers, and they were to dissect and study this little bird. The men worked tirelessly, innovating the crude mechanics found within the bird model and trying to find applications for this new technology that had the potential to magically bring model statues and figures to life. Well, this 3D animation project was put on hold so the team could focus on a new project, a project they called Disneyland. Needless to say, everything was put on the back burner for a project of Disneyland's proportions. But in the early 1960s, after the park was up and running, Walt's mind turned back to the potential he found in that little bird so many years ago. After much debate, the team at Wet Enterprises decided that this new technology, audio animatronics as they called it, should be used as part of a dinner show that would be featured in Adventureland. The show would play off of Adventureland's Polynesian influences and be set in a magical tiki hut where flora and fauna from throughout the tropics would gather and celebrate Polynesian culture. The show would be hosted by four parrots, no doubt an homage to their caged grandfather from New Orleans. The coolest part? Every bird, flower, and tiki god in this tiki hut would be powered by music.
And now it's time for Disney Tech Gizmos with Alex Stewart.
I don't want to get too technical and nerdy, but the technology used to run this attraction was amazing for its time. So amazing, in fact, that the mechanics that ran the Enchanted Tiki Room were originally developed by NASA to launch rockets. Well, and the government wants to stop funding NASA. Why? Yeah, without them, we would have no Tiki Room. I digress. Now, let's get back to the serious subject, the science of tiki birds. The movements of the Tiki Room's cast members were quote-unquote recorded as specific tones onto a long strip of magnetic tape. These tones told the computer to turn a specific electrical channel line on or off. When the tone played, it would cause a chain reaction that would trigger essentially a big puff of air that would travel up a tube and make the characters come to life.
I didn't realize that the characters were pneumatic in the first one. They were controlled by air, so that was a cool little fact that I learned.
Yeah, basically every time you're at the bank and you see that thing get sucked up into the tube, you can think of the Tiki Room because it's essentially the same technology. I think the thing that's cool also is the joke about getting the show rolling that they say in the script could be seen as a pun for how the show is actually run from a roll of magnetic tape.
He better start the show rolling!
That's clever. I see what they did there.
This also helps us understand that the word audio in audio animatronics doesn't refer to the fact that the characters can make noise, but they are controlled by sound. That kind of blew my mind when I discovered that.
And that was Disney Tech Gizmos with Alex Stewart.
Now, if the whole audio animatronics process sounds complicated, well, it was. It was complicated, and it took a ton of computers to make this show run. And the tough thing about computers is they get hot, and they get even hotter in the heat of a Southern California summer. The Imagineers needed a way to keep these computers cool so they wouldn't burn up and stop the birds mid-croon. So Walt bit the bullet and popped for air conditioning. Because of these hot computers, the Enchanted Tiki Room would be the first Disney attraction to be fully air-conditioned. Guests would be able to sit in the cool theater and be mesmerized by an amazing show of lifelike birds and flowers singing overhead. But there was another problem. The lifelike birds the guests would be clambering in to see were not looking or acting too lifelike. The materials used for the birds were making them look stiff and robotic. They needed to come up with a material to get these birds to look more realistic. Well, one day during a meeting, Walt was getting a little extra excited and was moving dramatically around the room. Harriet Burns, a designer on the Tiki Room project, noticed how Walt's cashmere sweater reacted organically with his movements. She had found her solution. She created a custom fabric with cashmere as the base material that solved the movement problem, and to this day, the chests of the parrots are made from that same custom cashmere fabric inspired by Walt Disney's sweater. The Tiki Room dinner show was coming along swimmingly, or should I say, flyingly.
I would love if Disney just released her line of Walt Disney's sweaters. I would wear the heck out of those sweaters. Anyway, that's my great idea.
No, I think that's a great idea. Why don't you send it like you did the barbershop letter and they denied you? Remember that? Why don't you tell that little story?
Sure. I sent a letter to, I don't know if we're getting off topic, but I sent a letter to Disneyland at one point saying that they should open an actual barbershop, shave and haircut kind of place where the Dapper Dans could come in and croon. And they didn't do it. But there is something like that in Disney World, and I got my haircut cut there on my last trip, so it was all right. Yeah, things worked out for me.
Well, and the great thing is they actually sent him a letter that was very, like, kindly written that said, "We don't accept your idea."
Yeah, they say we just don't take ideas from just people that we don't know.
I thought that was really, really sweet of them. Mm-hmm. Walt had the technology issues taken care of. His birds looked great. Now, all he needed was a great script, great music, and great actors. Now, I'm going to let Harry introduce you to the people who truly helped bring the Tiki Room to life.
Three of the four host birds are voiced by Disney legends. Jose is voiced by Wally Bogue, whom I first read about in Steve Martin's autobiography, Born Standing Up. Wally Bogue used to play the Golden Horseshoe Review as Pecos Bill, a 2-bit Texas cowboy with quick punchlines and balloon animals on the ready. As a teenager, Steve Martin sat in awe of Wally Bogue's performances, and if you watch Wally Bogue on YouTube, you can see the heavy influence Bogue had in Martin's comedy. Through Martin, Bogue influenced a generation of comedians. Bogue also had a heavy hand in writing the Tiki Room script, along with Fulton Burley.
Now, can I jump in there and just suggest to anybody, if you haven't read Born Standing Up by Steve Martin, I strongly suggest you do so. It's one of the best autobiographies I've ever read.
It's a great book. I agree with Al. That's why we host a podcast together. We have all the same opinions. Fritz is voiced by the legendary Thurl Ravenscroft. he's voiced by the legendary... Okay. Fritz is voiced by the legendary Thurl Ravenscroft, who provided the famous vocals on You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch, and was the voice of
Tony the Tiger
for Frosted Flakes.
They're great!
Ravenscroft's face is also on a singing bust statue in the graveyard of the Haunted Mansion. He's the one with the slicked back hair and the pencil mustache. That's my Craigslist misconnection description, by the way. Fulton Burley, another legendary performer from the Golden Horseshoe Review, lent his lilting Irish brogue to the parrot Michael.
So it is!
The Irish-Canadian Burley worked with Wally Bogue on Broadway, and when an opening became available at the Golden Horseshoe, Bogue recommended Burley for the job. Fulton Burley was a kinetic performer who filled the stage with larger-than-life ebullient energy. He would smile enormously, clap his hands, run out into the audience, and break into song with his merry Irish tenor. On or off stage, he was a warm, dynamic, funny presence, and you were never quite sure how he was going to delight you next.
Ebulliently, though.
Ebulliently, yes. I have a thesaurus. The songs in the Tiki Room were written by the Sherman Brothers. Robert and Richard Sherman are the most prolific musical composers in the history of film. You might not know they have an Oscar, 9 Academy Award nominations, 2 Grammys, 4 Grammy nominations, and 23 gold and platinum certified albums, but you know their songs. You've probably had their songs stuck in your head. Their work includes It's a Small World, the music from Mary Poppins, The Jungle Book, The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Robert Sherman passed away in 2012, but Richard Sherman is still with us. So, Richard Sherman, if you're listening to The Backside of Water, our official stance on you is... we think you're really cool, and also hello, and also thank you for the Tiki Room songs, and also all the other songs, and while we can't stop talking, while we are so sorry, but we cannot believe you're a fan. Anyway, we do love Richard. But if you mix these three formidable
Digimon, if you put these three Digimon together, they will become the ultimate Digimon.
They become a Hydra. Mix these three formidable Disney legends with the unparalleled musical genius of the Sherman Brothers, NASA technology, the creative talents of countless Imagineers, and the vision of Walt Disney, and you have the perfect cocktail of the Tiki Room.
I see what you did there, the whole cocktail thing. That's very clever.
Oh, I didn't mean to do that.
That's like a joke inside of a joke, because you're talking about like tiki drinks,
yeah,
and then you're also talking about a cock's tail like a rooster.
Yeah.
That was my sound of a rooster.
I think that was more like a cuckoo.
Okay. We digress again. Mm-hmm. Now, everything was running smoothly, and Walt was set to open his Tiki Room in the summer of 1963. But as with all great stories, there's usually a hitch. Or in this case, a hinge. Ba-doom-tsh. Now, as an aside for more nerdy listeners, John Hinch is a household name. But for those who don't know him, John Hinch was one of the masterminds behind almost all of Disneyland. His fingerprint is everywhere. In future episodes, I guarantee you're going to hear his name come up a ton. Hinch's concept drawings of this new show had Walt concerned that the show would be so amazing that guests wouldn't want to leave the theater. This would be a problem in a theme park where getting as many people through an attraction was a high priority. So, at the very last minute, Walt scrapped the dinner idea. He added a show in the waiting area, or lanai as it's called, starring famous tiki god from the islands that entertained guests as they waited for their turn to watch Jose, Pierre, Fritz, and Michael yuck it up in the branches of the Tiki Room. It's amazing because when you visit the park, you can still see that dinner show concept all over this attraction. Notice that the Tiki Room has its own set of bathrooms. Name another attraction that actually has its own set of bathrooms.
Maybe Splash Mountain? I don't know if that's official, though.
I don't know.
You can do it though. Or you can just go to the bathroom and anytime in the park and just say you wrote Splash Mountain. Okay.
So if you're looking for another park tip, you can just tell people you wrote Splash Mountain. The base of the Enchanted Fountain is actually still equipped to this day to serve drinks from. I can attest to this fact because when I was working there, I was training in the Tiki Room, and I saw the insides of the Enchanted Tiki Fountain base, and it is indeed legit. In spite of all the craziness that went into the creation of this attraction, Walt Disney's Enchanted Tiki Room finally opened on June 23, 1963. Initial guest numbers were, believe it or not, pretty disappointing. And they were actually disappointing because of a few reasons. Firstly, this attraction is the only attraction in the entirety of Disneyland to be owned solely by Walt Disney and Wed Enterprises. Because of this, there was an additional fee to get into the show. For those who may not know, Disneyland originally operated on tickets. Each ride required a specific ticket denomination in order to ride. The tickets ranged from A to E tickets, A being the cheapest and E being the most expensive. E tickets were reserved for the more grandiose attractions like the Matterhorn. Well, to put it into perspective, an E ticket cost a guest about 50 cents, and the ticket price for the Tiki Room was a whopping 75 cents. That may not seem like a lot now, but back then that was an insane price to ask. The second issue that caused the Tiki Room to have such low attendance was the fact that nobody even knew it was there. Tucked into a corner right by the Adventureland sign, the Tiki Room went widely unnoticed by guests entering into the world of adventure. The Imagineers solved this invisibility problem by adding an audio animatronic Barker bird to the outside of the attraction that would invite guests in to see the show.
Amigos, amigos down there, it is me up here.
The problem was actually solved a little too well, as after a while, the narrow entrance into Adventureland began to be constantly jam-packed due to people's interest in the bird. Eventually, the bird would have to be removed, but it helped garner more attention for the newly hatched attraction in Adventureland. See what I did? Newly hatched? Now, Walt Disney's Enchanted Tiki Room would go unchanged until the 1970s when it changed sponsors. The attraction was originally sponsored by United Airlines, as they were one of the main airlines that traveled to and from Hawaii. But in 1976, Dole Foods stepped in and took over sponsorship. This is a huge deal because with a new sponsor came a new treat. Not just any old found this on the back porch so I thought I'd put it in my mouth kind of treat. No, this treat would change the hearts and minds of every person who was fortunate enough to partake of it. I'm talking about the world famous Dole Whip. This blended soft serve ice cream like dessert can be enjoyed on its own or paired with fresh pineapple juice to create what's known as Liquid Valhalla, or what is also known as a Dole Whip float. Now, some listeners may not know what a Dole Whip is, and that's fine, but if you haven't tried a Dole Whip yet, please stop what you're doing and go get one. Like, right now. We'll wait. See, I told you, it was amazing! Speaking of Dole Whips, Harry, I think you found an old audio reel that's devoted to the treat, didn't you?
I did. I was cleaning out my attic the other day and just found this old 1930s newsreel, so let's roll it.
Now, to proclaim the wonders of the Dole Whip float, please welcome intrepid jungle explorer Dakota Jim.
That poison dart got me good, Jackie. It won't be long now. I can't keep up with that Indiana Jones fella. I know Indy is always saying this or that belongs in a museum. But listen closely, Jackie. You tell him that old Dakota Jim knows the treasure of the jungle, and you can't put it in no museum. The treasure of the jungle ain't no idol, ain't no jewel. No, the real treasure is a Dole Whip float. The Dole Whip float, let me tell you, is pineapple juice with pineapple ice cream in it. Now, I know what you're thinking. That sounds like too much pineapple. Well, you're wrong, Jackie. The Dole Whip float is more than the sum of its parts. It's paradise in a cup, Jackie. And when you taste a Dole Whip float, you know what happens? You're suddenly on a remote South Pacific island on a perfect day. The island breeze caresses your cheek and carries the soft melody of the ukulele. The pineapple ice cream melts in your mouth, and the waves wash away your troubles on the sandy shore. That's what happens when you taste the Dole Whip float. And you take that Dole Whip float into the Tiki Room. You sip that drink, and you listen to them birds, Jackie. And I promise you won't find so perfect a treasure anywhere else. So while Indy messes around in the Temple of the Forbidden Eye, seek the treasure of the Dole Whip. Oh, goodbye, Jackie. It's been a good run. Hey, Jackie. Can you see the poison dart in my pinky finger? I can't look. It's just a splinter. You telling me it's a splinter? You're right, Jackie. Well, shoot, that was my mistake.
Now let's go get us some Dole Whip floats.
Wow, what a fascinating piece of Americana, Harry. I'm so glad that you found that at such an apropos moment.
It was a good time to clean out the attic, Al. A good time.
Now, you may say, backside of water, boys, I would love to get me a Dole Whip, but the line is just too darn long.
Too darn long.
Well, do we have some good news for you? You actually have the ability to bypass that ungodly line by going into the lanai, or waiting area of the attraction, and ordering your Dole Whip treat from inside. Yeah, inside that area, the line is usually much, much shorter. I only ask that you please do this. Please stay for the show, because you'll be super glad that you did.
Exactly.
Believe it or not, Walt Disney's Enchanted Tiki Room has only undergone one major refurbishment. In 2004, they closed the Enchanted doors to make way for a better sound system and a more streamlined audio-animatronic setup. Sadly, the original technology that made the birds sing words and the flowers croon no longer run the show. They were also able, though, to fluff up the birds a little more and gave the whole place a well-deserved cleaning. But the show was up and running again for the magical 50th anniversary of the park. In 2013, the Enchanted Tiki Room itself celebrated its 50th anniversary. And I gotta say, 50 looks good on her. To this day, the charm, mystique, nostalgia, and sheer wonder of this attraction are still alive and shared by all who walk through the wonderful little bamboo turnstile. Though it's been over 50 years since Walt first walked through WED's doors with that little bird in a gilded cage, Walt Disney's Enchanted Tiki Room still magically captures the hearts and ignites the imagination of both young and old on a daily basis. It is one of the brightest jewels in the crown of the happiest place on Earth.
And that is the story of Walt Disney's Enchanted Tiki Room.
Ole, ole! up down there!
We had a blast researching this episode. This is one of our favorite attractions, and I learned so much. Al probably learned nothing because of his short-term memory problems, but we hope you did.
Where am I?
Shh, it's okay, Al, it's okay.
One thing that Harry and I have really been focusing on is the fact that the attraction's history is only part of the Disney magic that we want to focus on. Today we want to introduce a brand new segment that is creatively called Why I Love This Attraction. We want to give everyone an opportunity to share why they love the attraction we're covering. Today we're going to kind of take the reins and tell everybody why Harry and I love the attraction. But if you want to share the story of why you love an attraction, send us your story to backsideofwaterpodcast@gmail.com. We're currently accepting love stories for the world-famous Jungle Cruise, and we would love to hear from you. We'll also be able to put some of those up on our website as well as our Instagram.
Al has a special love story for the Jungle Cruise, which you will learn about next episode.
Indeed. Let's start the segment.
Let's get it rolling.
When you wish upon a star, make no difference who you are.
Walt Disney's Enchanted Tiki Room is easily one of my favorite shows at the park, not only because I love the song by the Sherman Brothers, but the Tiki Room represents a short time when everything is perfect. During the show, you watch this sublime daydream of tropical birds and flowers crooning Hawaiian-style melodies, and maybe it's just the air conditioning, but I feel filled with a new sense of camaraderie and respect for the other people in the audience, because together, we're glimpsing that in the midst of our everyday lives, daydreams can come to life, and Walt Disney's Enchanted Tiki Room proves it. So that's why I love it. It's just like a little slice of heaven for 15 minutes.
I agree. The story that I chose to focus on is actually from being a cast member at Disneyland and working the Enchanted Tiki Room. So this takes a little different perspective than necessarily a guest's point of view, but I just honestly can't explain the feeling that someone gets while working in the Enchanted Tiki Room. I don't know if it's the music or the constant sweet aroma of pineapple or like the air conditioning on the blistering hot days, but the Tiki Room No Joke has a way of making you truly feel the utter magic that Disneyland famously inspires. I remember back to a specific shift one warm summer evening when I stood in the empty lanai and watched the fireworks spectacular light up the skies over the castle. At Disneyland, cast members are always encouraged to help create magical memories for guests whenever possible, but I remember in that moment as the fireworks rained down over the tropical canopy, having the time to reflect on the fact that I was so blessed to work in a place that created a magical memory like this for me every single day. That was the thing that I loved the most about the Tiki Room, is it gave you that ability to say, man, I am working in an awesome place. Well, that's all the time and info we have for you today.
Please subscribe on iTunes and leave a review, good, bad, or ugly.
And also follow us on Instagram, get ready for it, _backside_of_water.
And check out our website at backsideofwaterpodcast.tumblr.com.
As always, as you exit, please watch your head and watch your step.
And if you miss your step and you hit your head, please watch your language.
Goodbye.